Thank you for listening to CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. I'm Yenny, and today with me is Adrian Mottram, and he is in Ancient Teeth, but also has a lot of background being in other bands, and his band members all are also veteran musicians. Adrian, do you want to introduce yourself for our listeners and audience?
Well, hello there. Yes, my name is Adrian. I play guitar. I sing in a band called Ancient Teeth, and I have been in the touring music world since 2002, I believe. It was the first band I started touring in was called The Getaway. It was a punk band from Toronto. We did a lot of North America, and that was sort of the big experience for me right out of high school. I knew I wanted to get in a band and play and just go, and I did that. And it was a pretty incredible ride. You know, before I was 20, or I had, you know, made records in the biggest, most famous studios in California, and was playing with the biggest bands that there were in the pop punk genre, like Blink, Good Charlotte, Newfound Glory, Less Than Jake. Like that was all happening at that time. And then after that, I did a band called Sights and Sounds, which was out of Winnipeg, and that was the more international project that had Andrew from Comeback Kid, and we were able to get to Australia, all through Europe, nice. Canada again, and you know, those experiences kind of pushed and shaped where I wanted to take my music. So I was a guitar player in that band, and then I was like, you know, I really want to be focusing on songwriting. I don't really want to be just playing guitar. You know, I think peaked as like my contribution level as a guitar player, and I really wanted to focus on singing and songwriting and pull the focus away from guitar playing. There was no need for me to be the best guitar player anymore. I just wanted to make great songs. So, and that's an arbitrary kind of thing. So it was my journey to just discover it. And as I was putting the songs together for the first Ancient Teeth record, that's when I called on Chris, who was, we have a band called Seas, which is also members of Monin. So, and Monin were probably one of the most influential bands when I was probably 17 or 18. And they're probably the reason that I wanted to get in a van and go on tours, because I saw these guys play at Call the Office in London, Ontario, Choke. And it just blew my mind. I couldn't believe the energy that was coming out like the stage. And around that time, I was getting into bands like At the Drive-In, and I would see them in Toronto. And it was just like, this energy is so appropriate for this type of music. It wasn't just super energetic music with people standing there. It was pure performance, you know. And so I got it. And later I ended up being in a band with Chris. Multiple bands, you know, touring with Monin or starting Seas and working on tons of records with him. And he wanted to play guitar for Ancient Teeth. And so that was, you know, I leaned on him to play all the rhythm guitars at the studio so we could kind of capture a whole band live. And then he's been on, we've made three records so far as Ancient Teeth, and he's been on every one of them. And he's contributed at least one song per album. Which is great, because it's not like a band. It's not like we jam, we go on tour, we write songs, we make records. It's more like it's a songwriting opportunity for me. And I, as I'm building the 9 or 10 songs for an album, you know, I'll be always talking with Chris, and he'll have something to contribute, and then we'll share that together. He'll put a song on an album. So the people involved are like incredible support.
Jamil
plays bass, right? He plays bass on the records. Mike plays drums on the records. I've known Mike Duffield since 1998, and we never had a band together. We were sort of always playing and bouncing off each other's creative energies. And he went to music college, and I joined a band and went on tour. And then we just circled back at 36 years old, yeah, and we were able to make records together. But they're like the professional musicians who have been touring for 20 plus years, they've all got kids or they're, you know, involved in their own thing, but they're very much involved in making the records. And then on the performance side of things here in Montreal, I've got a group of people that have been touring and playing in bands for 20 plus years in their own circles. And so I, you know, one's a neighbor and two are people I've met, you know, over the course of the 20 years that I've been touring. They're from Edmonton. And so it's really cool to be playing with different groups of people doing the same songs, but, you know, it's all coming together.
I was reading, when I was reading and kind of studying for this interview, I was reading about like what can happen when musicians really support each other, like the kind of energy and, you know, support that come out of when people care about each other and also care to support another musician.
Yeah.
So my cat was just trying to get up here, so I had to readjust myself.
No, it's fine. My two cats have been curious as well. I've got two, Charlie and Banana, and they kind of poke their heads. Every time I come in here to do a Zoom, they kind of come around. I pick them up and then they go.
Pretty much.
So we might see them.
Yeah. Well, that's really good. And you guys released this album last week on 8th of March?
Yeah. It's been a really cool, an exit. Once it comes out, it's like an exit. You've got a birth that, you know, it's been a long period in the making and building it up and then, you know, curating it, working on the artwork, bundling it, making it appealing, and then you kind of release it out into the world. And the feedback has been actually very surprising. I didn't think it would connect with anyone really the way that I thought it was going to connect with anyone, you know. And the feedback has been astounding because it seems to be connecting with people individually, and they have all personal stories and connections to the songs, and that was the intention, but I didn't think it would work, or you know, it was because it's such a personal project, you know, you can't hope that it's going to be perfect for in a commercial sense, you know. You have to, like, I think I had to let go of that years ago, you know. It's the business side of it is very challenging, and like I say, that whole intention is just to be able to write and write genuinely and write from my heart and have it come out the most accurate way. And the response has been phenomenal.
Well, I think you're getting that through with this album, right? Because it does feel very honest. It's given me a little bit of nostalgia. Like, I kind of feel like a little bit of a treble charger in there. Like, when I was first coming to Canada, treble charger were like huge, and I listened a lot to them. Like, that was like my vibe for a while. Obviously, like, also Our Lady Peace was also playing, and like Matthew Good Band. Like, that was like the era when I came to Canada, when people still watched much music, like, you know, religiously, which you know, maybe we come back to times like that. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it.
I would love that. You know, I don't know. So around that time, that's when Limlifter and Age of Electric were kind of bands out in the world. They were from Vancouver, and Pure was another band that had a you know, bit of Canadian radio success. Hayden was big as well.
Hayden,
Hermit, like those Canadian bands were so important for me to be, you know, learning guitar and going, oh my gosh, I think I can do this. These are people I can sort of associate with melodically. You know, it wasn't just at the time Foo Fighters or Pearl Jam, but there was a big Canadian component that I could really connect with. And I really appreciated that the business side, not knowing that there was a heavy business side to the music industry at the time, knowing that there was a mandate for Canadian content, and that's how it was able to access me and as a youth. And I'm really grateful for that. I know they got rid of it essentially in Canada. It's just now it's just sort of whatever Universal Music is pushing, so it could be from anywhere. It's not generally a Canadian focused industry anymore,
right,
as far as broadcasting goes.
Yeah,
but Much Music, like, there is a story where my mom took me out of school and brought me to the Much Music building for a tour of the building, because I was just obsessed with the Much Music, you know, the spotlight, and there was like the countdown, and there was the wedge that Sookie and Lee did. And she was like, that's sort of, again, like how impressive and progressive my parents were, going like, no, we know how important this is. We're just going to pull you out of school for the day and go in on this adventure. We went downtown and we went to the Much Music building, and the band that was in there was Age of Electric. I don't know if my mom knew that and that's why, but they were in doing an interview. And I was just like, it was just like, oh my God, that's them. That's the band, you know, Remote Control. It was like probably my favorite song at the time. And there they were standing there. And I was too shy to go and say hi. But if you fast forward to 2008, or around 2007, we were making a record in Vancouver at the warehouse. And we ended up, the producer got a bunch of equipment from another producer in Vancouver. And it was Ryan Dahl from Limlifter, Age of Electric. And so I'm in there, I'm playing his guitars that were in all the videos that I was watching when I was a kid. And I'm playing his guitars, the one that Matt Good is also, you know, videoed playing. It's this green Jazzmaster. And I used that on the record. And then I overheard Ryan say something like, man, that guy's a really good guitar player. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
You know, so like, you're kind of like,
yeah.
Got to a certain point, and then, you know, fast forward again several years later, Ryan Dahl is mastering my records, and he's playing Mellotron on this Humanizer record, and I think it's really cool to kind of have experienced that person's songwriting when I was very influenced by indie rock in Canada, to then kind of collaborating with them and bouncing ideas off them at a later stage as a songwriter, going like, you know what, this, you know, if it passes through that, you know, that's, I think that's got a certain sentimental value to it, but also like a gold stamp, I think, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure. That must be incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, but I actually wanted to talk about Much Music a little bit. Jay Muris, he used to do this thing in the West Coast. He started the West Coast thing with Nardwuar, where he's a videographer, and he would go and interview bands, and it would be these little snippets like Much West, and it would pop up on Much Music as like, you know, we're here with whatever band and they're playing this venue and the, you know, Croatian Cultural Center in Vancouver, and he would interview the band, and sometimes you'd see him holding the camera and he'd pop himself in, like you'd see a mirror and you'd see who he was on the camera. I don't know if you remember that. I met him in Toronto and I was like, hey Jay, I would love to do some Much Music style promotion for Ancient Teeth. And so he has been documenting the band.
Oh nice. For
the 2 years. And so drawing on, like, having him around, but also drawing on that nostalgia, it's like, yeah, it was everything to me, that, you know, and the fact that he's into it, you know, I really appreciate that. It's a really special thing for me, this group, this band, this project.
It's really,
I feel like I've been rambling.
No, it's really good. I think you can really tell, because like you mentioned the business side of things, or like even why some people get into music or into arts in general, like, not everybody get into it for the right reason, because there's obviously a lot of glory that may come with it, you know, being a celebrity of some sort. Like, if that is the main thing that's pulling you, versus like you have this thing in you you're trying to express, like, and when I'm reading about what you were trying to express, it's very personal. It's about your relationship to very important people in your life. You're trying to go through, like, express, you know, it talks about like difficult times of your life or like personal crisis or emergencies that like we've gone through. If you can use your art to express that, that's really a different place than I want to become, you know.
Yeah. No, that's the whole thing. That's sort of, it started from that, you know, if you really wanted, I've always had a vision for it, but I didn't know how I was going to do it. And I think that there's, especially in a westernized culture, we've got this glass ceiling of like, maybe I can't do it, or it's not going to work, so I won't try. And when we were going through the really tragic moments a few years ago of a, you know, we lost a family member. Well, as that was happening, they kept saying it's because they were a musician themselves and a composer. They kept saying they wish they had started earlier making their personal records as opposed to always working on music for other people. And wow. That hit me. And yeah. It was like, okay, well, I'm not going to wait. And so I'm just going to do it. And however it comes out, it's going to be genuine. I'm not going to force it, but I just have to start doing it. And so it was birthed out of that loss. And you know, that's how I was able to sort of process just how difficult the feelings were, because you couldn't just turn and start talking to a random friend about the pain of losing a family member or the grieving that my partner is going through. You couldn't just do that. So it would just come out in chords, and it would come out in lyrics. It would just be something that could be played more accurately because I could turn up the level of gain on the distortion, and it could, you could feel the heartache. And yeah. I think that it's a tool like painting. And I'm so happy that I was able to connect with this deep passion that I have of music and the songwriting. It all kind of came together out of necessity. And, you know, it was a very difficult time to, as a parent and as a supportive partner, but it was the thing that I needed to keep me grounded. And there was something that I was going to add to that, which was it took a long time to get the first record finished. And I was very stressed about it, and because it was taking longer than, like, my father-in-law got sick, and it took, you know, it was 9 months and he was gone, and the first record was taking over a year to finish. And I was like, you know, someone lost their life in less time than it takes to put this record out. So I think I really started pushing a lot of material out because, you know, anything could happen, and you could all of a sudden not have the ability to create anymore. And so there was this deep, I would say deep stress, but like a deep motivator to like continue pushing art out as it's flowing and to not really question it so much and be too critical about it, because it's supposed to be a reflection of how you're feeling, and it can have mistakes that aren't, it's not perfect tuned vocals, or it's flubs in the drums, or my guitar solo has a bad note. It's human, and it needs to be an expression. So therefore, let it flow, let it pour out. And that's the whole impetus of this is a songwriting exercise, but it's also an opportunity for really accurate expression from my heart. And that is what makes the opportunity so great.
Yeah, so it's kind of a different way of going at it, right? Because so much music is commercialized nowadays that it feels like it's not even, because music can be something, for me, music is always very emotional. My mood is like, whatever feelings I have, the music will reflect that. Like, depending on what I'm listening to, if I gotta cry, like, there's this music. If I wanna dance, there's this music. If there's, I'm angry, there's going to be music for that. Like, music is always channeling my feelings. So it's rejuvenating to hear you talk about it, because for sure, not everybody approach it that way. And like, even reading about you guys, and it's like closer to like a root canal than TikTok starter kind of thing. Like, that just made me laugh so hard. Like, yeah, me too, man. Me too.
You know, what's so funny about that is it came from the business side. I was having a stirred up conversation with a pretty fancy New York manager, and they were like, you know, what are your TikTok numbers like? What are your Instagram followers like? And I'm like, TikTok? What are you talking about, man? Like, this is a rock and roll record. It's just supposed to be played, you know, like picture CBGB's, a band playing. There's no TikTok. That doesn't exist. And they were just like, they were like looking at me like I was crazy. And it's just funny because that's not my thing. That's not my business. My business is just performing and writing songs. That's it. It's not complicated. It's very much a very traditional very traditional representation of performing. I don't even know what goes on TikTok, and I have no interest because I don't think it's a good representation of what I'm doing. So I don't have a dance for a song yet because I don't need to think about that.
Right. I know. I guess there's just like always this clash of the world of, because they say, oh, well, what do we need art for unless we make money from it? It's like, no, like art is an expression. It's like beauty. It's eternal. You know, it's classic. It's something that will be here after we're gone. It's, you know, brings us together. Like music can bring us together like in a moment, you know?
And I've noticed that even more now when I'm rehearsing these songs with a different group of people that played on the record, and they're like, there's no sheet music. It's just four people playing their own melodies that interweave and become harmony to a drum beat. And if we all play at the same time, it all comes together and they add their vocal elements. And all of a sudden this sound in the room is here. If you take any of those elements away, the song will disappear. And that, I think, is magic. That is, it's just remarkable. And I really love having the opportunity to share it like that. It's I feel so grateful. You know, my life has improved in the last several months just being able to go on Thursday nights with friends and play these songs. It's a magical thing.
And you have a lot of collaborations. You're bringing in different vocalists that are singing backtracks and things like that. Like I was reading up, you have a number of people that are singing with you guys. Trish Robb singing on the album was essential, you say here.
Yeah, that was really cool. So I've known her for a very long time, probably since my first band, so 20-odd years. And she's always been a folk singer. She's out of Toronto. You could find a lot of her music, I think, out there, but she's got just a gorgeous voice. When I was putting together the songs and the concept for the record, I did see her, you know, on maybe it was either Facebook or Instagram or something. She was sharing a lot of her personal story, and that song was coming up, and I was like, I felt very inspired by her honesty, and I reached out to her to sing on the song, and then she sent back her tracks, and it was just like, holy crap, beautiful. So, you know, I feel very grateful that she's on there, and I feel as I was able to draw her in, and she inspired the song. I never told her that, but her story really inspired the song. So I was able to kind of pull her in a really great way.
That's incredible.
You know, I don't know. I would love to be able to perform with her. You know, I could see that doing some acoustic songs somewhere and being able to play them with her. That would be really cool.
That would be incredible. Are you guys planning some kind of tour?
Well, touring's super difficult these days, but I've got some shows in Montreal, around the Montreal area, and, you know, it's a very slow building live process. Like I say, the albums, the songwriting is sort of the big thing for me, is making the records, and playing shows is really important. I would love to do a tour. I'd love to do a national tour. I'd love to go back to Europe. Love to go to Australia. Really would love to play Japan. It's just a matter of finding the opportunity to submit for the support tours. That the politics around even opening a show is so brutal these days, because there's the agents want buy-ins, you know, and it's just politics. It's weird. It's a weird thing. So I'm really digging the DIY venues and the new promoters and just kind of focusing on community events.
Yeah.
We have coming up like April 6th, we're doing a show in Montreal, and it's this warehouse art space, and there's going to be someone doing live projections with like water and ink while we're playing. And so, you know, like, that's cool. That's what I want. I want to play a punk rock warehouse basement that has visual art going on while there's music. That's great. Sign me up. You book a tour like that across Canada, I'll do it. No problem. You know what I mean?
Nice. Yeah, that's very organic. It feels really good, for sure.
Yeah.
People need it. And I was talking with somebody yesterday, and we were kind of talking about like the disruption that the pandemic kind of made on society and like how important it is that we kind of get back up and running and do things for the community again, you know, by the heart.
I think it's like you say, it's more important now because there's been this level of like, I think people lost a lot of empathy when we shut ourselves off and there was no touching, there was no hugging, there was 6 foot social distancing. Like, you lose the human connection. And if that's been taken away from us, people are kind of, oh, well, I think I'm just going to hang out inside and not go out and get used to being indoors. And I grew up in this social environment, and as community is incredibly important. Small markets, independent grocers, like, there's a shoemaker's down the street that, you know, people just go to Walmart or Payless and buy new shoes instead of fixing something that is perfectly functional and just needs a new sole, and because they don't know that there are craftspeople around. And I think it's really important to draw on that and expose it and bring communities together. You know, it's so important, and we need it so badly.
Yeah, we do. Well, I like doing community radio because puts me in touch with, you know, individuals like yourself, and I get to meet people that are doing stuff. Yesterday, one of our programmers came in with her professor, because she's also a student at University of Waterloo in knowledge integration program. So just connecting with people that are like-minded is so important, and like supporting people that are doing something for the right reason. You know, not everything is like money-oriented or driven by fame. It's just kind of like, I'm very social creature too, so, and we all are, right? Just looking for connections.
I think there's more value in connection, human connection, than monetizing it. That's that the new trend of monetizing every aspect of your life is so brutal. I had a conversation with someone who was trying to modernize rehearsal space in Toronto, and they wanted to do, you know, get really into the VR and jamming over, you know, Wi-Fi. But their intention was money. Their whole driving force was money, being able to charge people for this experience. And then he was talking about how he would just kind of build it all back to being able to have a jam space and you pay for the human interaction and the human experience. And I thought, why did you have to be motivated by money? Like, is there any way to not bring money into it and just go and jam and people can enjoy it? But in Toronto, unfortunately, everything costs so much money that you have to monetize every step of your day. And I really don't like that. I really feel uncomfortable about that. And I wish that it would change. I wish that there would be more knowledge about community spaces, like you say, like basements in churches that are unused, or community centers that have pianos and you could offer piano lessons, you know, for whatever that may be. I don't know.
I know. So important. I hear you. I feel like, just to mention the pandemic one last time, but like, it kind of made some people better people, and it made some people, like, whatever you kind of already were, you were going to go more into that. Like, some people kind of got more closed off and were like, I don't really need the world. Like, it's all going to be via the screen now. Like, we're talking via the screen because I'm not in Montreal and you're not in Kitchener, kind of thing, right? So like, it makes sense today. In general, I would prefer every time to do a face-to-face, like an actual face-to-face. I want to get into doing like couch interviews. Like, I want to get to know the artist, like have that really informal conversation, like getting to know the musicians. Like, that's what I'm looking to do more of too. So I really enjoy this conversation for sure.
Yeah, that would be great. And like, I don't know where, like, if you had the space for it, but if you had touring bands come through and you had your own little, like, you know, the Wayne's World couch.
Yeah.
Set up where, and you could have the interviews in like a really cool living room, and they could do an acoustic song or something like that. That would be like such a cool show, you know, and it doesn't even have to be hours long. It could be 20, 30 minutes, and you can hang out, play, show us a song, what's a new riff you're working on, and then talk about whatever.
Yeah.
Have a tea, you know?
This is what I want to do. And I want to use our station for that purpose. We need some new furniture in there. Like, we're a community radio station. I'm a volunteer. We used to be campus radio for University of Waterloo, and then we became a nonprofit organization radio station. So I actually started doing a show about horses. My show initially was against horse slaughter. And then I started doing mental health in horses, community. And then I just was like, okay, I got to talk to everyone. And I've always loved music. So music became a part of it, you know.
You know who you need to interview?
Who?
It's Katie Krewl. And she's a folk singer, really, really cool songwriter out of Prince Edward County, I think, or Coburg area in Ontario, and she's got horses. So, and she would be such a cool person for you to talk to.
Sure.
Katie Krewl, but her real name is Kate Boothman, and you can find like a total discography of her on Spotify or whatever you stream on. But she's got horses, loves music, and she has a catering company, so she loves food. So you could literally talk about
anything,
all kinds of different stuff. Yeah.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
My pleasure. And then hopefully she can recommend someone for you to interview next.
I think so.
Make it like a leapfrog.
I love that though. Like word of mouth and like getting introduced to people. Like I love that though. That's perfect.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, what are you looking forward to at this point? Like what's next?
It's a funny question I get, because what's next in the tour cycle or album cycle is going to be, you know, play more shows. I really want to try and do a show a month, and I'd love to be able to like start playing more. Like if I've got the group here in Montreal, then we'll bump into Ottawa or try and get to Quebec City. I'd love to play Halifax or New Brunswick. There's this really cool town, Heartland, New Brunswick, that has a really cool scene there. I'd love to get there. I'd love to tour now, you know, but it's going to be a really difficult period, I think, unless a band, you know, straight up emails and says, hey, we really want you to open these shows. But I finished a third record, and so in a year from now there'll be a third record out.
I'm
really looking forward to that.
Nice.
And then, you know, and I since it's been such a busy period of time with family, I haven't written a lot, but I do have another record written that I am looking forward to doing as well, which is, it probably won't be an Ancient Teeth record. It'll probably be like this album for my kids, you know, of like their rock pop, you know, kind of thing. But I'm just like looking forward to being able to continue songwriting and expanding the palettes and really just loving and enjoying it. So, you know, that's it. Not really focusing on the business side, but just being able to focus on the love of it and the passion of it. Because if I lose that, then it's going to be a difficult platform, you know?
You're like kind of, you're self-rejuvenating in a sense that like the love of music is what keeps you wanting to create more and needing to express yourself and like being able to channel your life via your instruments.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I feel like amazing after finishing this third record. I feel like I was saying to someone, like I feel actually at peace with where my songwriting is at. And I'm feeling very open to accepting new musical ideas for continuing the journey, you know. So
amazing.
That's what
Great. Well, this has been great, Adrian. Thanks so much for your time today.
Well, my pleasure. It was so nice to meet you. Do you want me to do that sting?
Yes.
Hi, this is Adrian from Ancient Teeth, and you're listening to CKMS Community Connections on 102.7 Waterloo.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
That was awesome.
I look forward to chatting with you some other time.
That sounds great. Thanks to Lucy from Looters as well.
I know. She's so cool. Both of them, Sarah and Lucy, are without them, I would have been like just nothing. They have such a great vision. They know exactly what to do. They know who to connect with, who will get the project that I'm doing. And I feel amazing about it. I'm really grateful.
Yay. That's awesome. Well, good luck with everything that you endeavor. And we'll catch up again for sure. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Bye. That was Adrian Mottram from Ancient Teeth. Their new album, Humanizer, was just released on March 8th. Check it out on the online streaming platforms. I really enjoyed listening to it. It's got a lot of good vibes there. This is Yenny from CKMS Community Connections, Radio Waterloo, CKMS 102.7 FM. Thanks a lot for listening.